This is a live look at the brand new Bono's Barbecue location in Neptune Beach, Florida, and we're outside on the patio today for Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. Welcome in, J.P. Shadrick, Brian Sexton, John Osier. Plenty to get to today. We're about to hammer some barbecue here at Bono's at the beach. Off-season program recap. We'll recap the last month and a half of Jaguars' work. Where does the team stand now with summer break officially here? And then we'll look forward a little bit. Training camp battles. What to look forward to when the team reconvenes at Everbank Field in the last week of July. What's up, guy? Hey, what's on the order today? Can you eat barbecue?
Is that allowed? Today is the first day that I can eat after 43 days of really not. So I am going to, I'm looking forward
to it. You're throwing down some bread, aren't you? Big time cheat.
No bread, no baby. Bread. But the turkey.
All right.
What do you got, Johnny, today? What's your order?
I'll be throwing down some bread, I can tell you that. I'm a sucker for bread in a barbecue restaurant. So
are you?
That's me.
Yeah, I might go if they have the potato with a barbecue in it. I might go with that today.
Well, it's safe to say neither one of us can match your virtuosity in this place, JP.
That's true.
I'll just watch the menu.
That's fair. We'll get to that a little bit later today. But around Everbank Field, the players are out for the summer break. Yesterday, the Jaguars Foundation and the youth football side put on the 7-on-7 passing challenge for area high school teams just outside of Everbank Field at the practice fields. A number of teams came through, but Ocala Vanguard came through with the championship again. They won the tournament over Rebalt in the final. And really a cool thing that the Jags have done now. I think it was the third straight year they've had the 7-on-7 passing challenge, and a good chance for high school teams to come out and get some work in the offseason.
Yeah, it's something that I covered high school sports back in the early 90s, 92, 93, and they didn't have this sort of event. Of course, back when I covered it, Brian, it was basically wing tee, and I,
they have helmets?
They had helmets, but they didn't throw the ball like they did today. So interesting to see how the high school game has changed on that front, and cool event yesterday.
I went and found a spot up on the concourse in the shade and watched it. And the thing is, not being a Jacksonville native, having grown up here, I didn't really understand the tradition of high school football.
Sure.
All the kids who went on to play major college and NFL ball. So I went out there yesterday to really get a look at some of these guys. Again, they're running around in shorts and t-shirts, but man, do you have some athletes some long athletes, guys, are 6'3", 6'4", that were reaching and knocking passes away. I mean, if that's the future of high school football in Jacksonville, I can't wait to watch more of it.
Yeah, I'm standing on the sideline looking at some of these kids. Like, wait, what year is he in college right now?
Right.
Because they look that mature. So it was a cool day at Everbank Field. Congrats to Ocala Vanguard for the championship. Let's get to the Jags now. The off-season program is done. Let's start on offense. Why not? Right? Blake Bortles going into another season, a big season for Blake, a big offseason right now for Blake. But you saw during the program the development that he and Julius Thomas put together. And you saw it last year before the injury to Julius, but it became even more evident now that that's a huge piece of this offense.
Well, people keep asking, what did they get out of the offseason? Where are they better from this point to now? It's hard to tell on offense how much better they are, because so much of what they need to do on offense is going to be how Blake develops, what he can do at the line. And that stuff is just not going to be seen until September, October, November. But the point you made, JP, Thomas and Bortles, they looked far more comfortable with each other than they did this time last year even. Although Julius Thomas last year showed up athletically during OTAs, and he made a lot of leaping catches in the end zone, same as Allen Robinson. He made a lot of athletic plays. But I thought the difference this year, Brian, was that they seemed in sync. They seemed to have more timing. And that's really what the offense lacked, I think, in all spots last year. It makes sense that they lacked it. Blake Bortles was in his second year, but they didn't seem to have a lot of timing in situations. It seemed like he's got that with Julius Thomas and hopefully more people.
Well, we saw it rarely last year, obviously, because Julius got the late start. But there are two throws that stood out to me late last year. One was the crossing pattern against the Texans, and the other was the end zone shot against the Chargers, where we went, okay, that's why they made him the highest paid tight end in the game at the time, because of those. And so late last season was the chance to kind of get, all right, I get what you do, you understand what I want. And now this offseason's been about refining it instead of creating it. So it was a pleasure to see.
And there were a lot of moments last year, Brian, that you saw what they could maybe be, but they weren't yet. there were a lot of missed opportunities between those two. I think they both realized that. Julius Thomas, it's easy to forget because it's been a year now. He's a Pro Bowl tight end.
Yeah.
And very feasibly could be a third significant weapon in this offense. That's a big add if they get it.
Well, and if Marquise Lee continues to get better, he becomes even more of a mismatch for you. I mean, it becomes very difficult now to have – you almost need eight defensive backs on the field with the way that the Jaguars are going to be able to stack the line of scrimmage. Yeah. But teams obviously can't do that. So Marquise Lee's development makes him an even more critical part because of the mismatch. And maybe you guys don't see it this way. I'm nitpicking here. I want to see – from Blake, better accuracy. That's it. And I've said it over and over and over. And people go, well, you know, it's just not his game. But I watched him very closely. And I would watch him throw, and I would watch the placement of the ball. And on the balls that he knew were, you know, too far in front, too far behind, the look of disgust on his face, his body language said, I know I've got to be better at this. So as I look forward to training camp and the preseason, the one thing that I'm really looking for from Blake is fix that.
Yeah.
And, man, you really got something now.
Well, again, I don't think it's something that we're ever going to see him completely fix in practice. I think he's an adrenaline guy. I think his accuracy will improve in the games just as he gets better and as he gets more confident in the offense. As he feels like he's got a better handle on the offense and knows where to go with the ball, that's got to improve everything else. So I think that will improve. Again, I just don't hold out that much hope that he's going to be a never – have the ball hit the ground, practice player.
Yeah, and you're right. But you know what the funny thing is, JP, is that, what is he, like a 56.5, 57% completion guy last year? I mean, just knocked it up to 65%.
Sure.
Yeah. We're not talking jumping from 56% to 86%. Just, you know, 6, 7%, get that up, and it makes a world of difference for how this offense converts on third down, in the red zone. It's an interesting point to follow.
You touched on the addition of Marquise Lee and what kind of offseason he had. Let's go into that a little bit more, because if he's healthy, which he has been this whole offseason program, that was a big goal for him. If he's healthy in camp, if he gets through camp unscathed, he brings an unbelievable dimension on the outside of this offense.
Well, you guys tease me, and so does Pete, Gavin, Dave, about I love Marquise Lee in terms of his athleticism, in terms of what he brings, in terms of his story, what he's been through. It's easy to forget, again, like Julius Thomas last year, there was so much focus on Hearns and Robinson that it's easy to forget that when you were grading people in the draft, Marquise was significantly better than those two guys in terms of athleticism, what it takes to be an NFL wide receiver. Now, there's so much more than athleticism and what it takes to do that job. But it's not a huge reach to think that if Lee and Thomas both develop, that the best two receivers on the Jaguars roster may not be the most productive receivers this year. Now, I don't know if Lee is going to pass those guys in terms of production, but Julius Thomas and Marquise Lee can be every bit as dangerous a weapon. They have just as much ability to make defenses think about them, which is really what this league's all about. If the offensive players can make defenses adjust to them, they're just as capable of that as Hearns and Robinson. If those two guys make them do that, then all of a sudden, A-Rob's getting single coverage occasionally, which is an incredible thing to think. He just made the Pro Bowl. But there are four or five guys, when you bring Rashad into it, Rashad Greene, that can be factors offensively. I don't know that there's ever been a time in Jaguars history where that was the case. Now, that these guys are there yet. They're not Jimmy and Keenan yet. They're not that. But the potential is staggering for this offense in terms of the skill players they have right now.
Look, you remember Tom Coughlin wanted that. He had Jimmy and he had Keenan, and he wanted it so badly, especially in 2000 after watching what Oz Hakeem did in mismatches for that greatest show on turf group in St. Louis, that he drafted R.J. Soward, even though everyone knew that was beyond a reach.
He did it one
RJ,
play.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. One
Beat
play.
Dion.
Yeah, exactly. One play. And the Jaguars have never had that.
Right.
Never, ever had that. They certainly didn't have it with Matt Jones, Ernest Wilford, and Reggie Williams.
Right.
This should be the first time that they get there. The thing about Lee, he's so calm, so relaxed. People say, oh, he's a professional in the locker room. I saw it differently. What I saw was a guy that was so confident in his own abilities. He knew
this
that
offseason.
Well, and even during the season last year when people were asking him, when are you going to be ready? Can you stay healthy? He was just so consistent, and it was based on the confidence he was thought to be one of the best two receivers in that draft. Mm-hmm. He at one point was thought to be worthy of a top 10 selection based on his measurables and his production at USC. Clearly, that didn't happen. He slid into the second round, and the Jaguars got him. But the confidence level that he has now, working with Blake, with Allen and Allen, with Jerry Sullivan, with Greg Olsen, it wasn't the calmness, it wasn't the composure. That was confidence. He's got it right now. And if he has the ability to walk the walk and talk the talk, so to speak, boy, this offense really has something.
Sometimes if you listen to these guys, you can figure out what's going on pretty easily. And Marquise, from the time offseason started, said, I'm not worried about anything except staying healthy. If I stay healthy, I know what I can do.
Yeah.
True. I mean, and many guys say that. In his case, it's dead on. If he stays healthy, then what we saw in OTAs can translate. And I guess given 2 years of what he's gone through, it's a surprise, but it's not a surprise in terms of his talent.
We're at Bono's Barbecue, Neptune Beach, Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. Let's go defense now. This is night and day from a couple of years ago on this side of the ball, because there's speed all over the field, athletes at every level now, and it is a defense that you don't really know what it can do yet because there's so many new pieces, but you have a lot of hopes of what they could be doing this fall.
Well, the thing that stands out to me is Todd Wash has so many options. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, Bob Babich never had this many options. Todd Wash is going to do it his own way. But the very first thing is just the numbers, and you mentioned talent all over the field, speed all over the field. Think about the secondary and what he can do with James Sample, right, who right now is a backup to John Cyprian, although that should be an interesting camp battle. Having Tashawn Gibson, who can cover all over the field. He can move Peyton Thompson, who played nickel and dime corner for you last year, back to free safety, which is probably where his foot speed makes him a much more valuable player. And just all the corners. I mean, all right, so are you going to put Ramsey inside and Amukamara stays outside? And what happens when you get Aaron Colvin back and you know what Devon House is? I mean, just option, 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 option. So it's not just about injuries, and it's not just about one guy playing better. It's packages. Right.
Sometimes I mean, you bring guys in the off season, and you wonder what you brought in. This off season was striking to me in that it wasn't just talk about Tashawn Gibson in March; it was looking out in May and seeing him make a play in OTAs. Now it's just OTAs; it's got to be done with pads on, but you could see the guys that we all talked about in March, April, May, actually doing things that got you excited about what they could possibly do. Fowler, Gibson, Amukamara. I'm going to throw Colvin in there, even though he's a return guy, because he looked much better than he's looked in the offseason before. You didn't see Fowler and Jack, but you assume they're good. All of a sudden, we're naming off guys and haven't even gotten to Malik Jackson. We're naming off six, seven guys
who have never played.
That have never played
for the Jaguars.
But they all look like, okay, this is a reason they might be good. Not just this is an add-on. This is a reason I can foresee easily seeing this guy making an impact play and walking off the field with the camera on him after a turnover. Now, they haven't had enough guys like that. So you can talk about off-season improvements, and a lot of teams do that, but it's a striking number of players who have the potential to make impact plays on this defense, and that's rare. To have that sort of turnover with that sort of potential production.
Back in the early 90s, when Jimmy Johnson had his first two Super Bowl teams, well, his only two Super Bowl teams, and the Cowboys had their two Super Bowl teams, and he and Dave Wannstedt really changed the way that they used guys on defense. They had 19 guys that regularly contributed. You could have called starters.
Right, they were well ahead of the curve.
Oh, man, absolutely. And for the first time in many, many, maybe ever, the Jaguars have at least that many guys that you could envision having a role.
Right.
And all of them you could put in a starting role. It's not just, well, this guy's only a third down corner or this guy's only a third down rusher. I mean, maybe Yannick, that's it, right?
Yannick Ngakoue.
He told you yesterday how to pronounce his name officially. He may only early on be a, you know, second and third down and long sort of pass rusher, but you know, I think you wrote the story this morning for Jaguars.com that he is a guy that's run defense has fit better than they thought. It just, boy, that side of the ball really intrigues me as we get into camp with all the options that Todd Wash and Gus Bradley have to work with.
Well, and I think people who are observing the team are maybe not seeing what you just said, because I get questions all the time about who's starting where. Cinderick's not a starter. Is
Good.
Miles Jack going to start? Are these people going to start? And the reality of the NFL these days is, as you said, you need 17, 18 guys who are starters, because especially with this team, with what they're trying to do, they need to be as good or better on third down as they are on first and second down. It was the reverse last year. With the concept you just talked about, the numbers are where they're going to improve on third down this year. It's the fact that you have guys you can bring in. Colvin may not start, but you know what? He might be one of the most important players on defense. Cinderick may not start, but he might be one of the most important players on defense. Miles Jack may not start in the opener, but he's going to be one of the most important players on defense because they can run on third down and they give them something they don't have on first and second down.
Give me a healthy Cinderick Marks playing 20 to 30 snaps a game. Wow. Not starting?
Right.
Bringing him in off the bench?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
To have him fresh, because there were times.
But there's
going to
be a lot of angst over the next couple of months about who's starting. It's not as important as what we're talking about.
There were times 2 years ago before he got injured in Houston where he was tired. You guys remember, we would be talking to him in the locker room, and you could see he was playing too many snaps. 20 snaps a game for him? Wow.
That would be nice to see. And you can see the Jaguars in person this season. Single game and season tickets are now on sale. Great home schedule includes the Packers to open it up in the September heat. Vikings and the world champion Broncos are all coming to Everbank. Call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com/tickets. Let's look forward now to training camp a little bit. I know you're looking forward to it, John.
I cannot wait.
In late July.
Love the heat and humidity.
I love it all.
Last week of July, the Jags will reconvene at Everbank Field for training camp 2016. I think the report that Monday, the quarterbacks and rookies do, and the veterans report that Wednesday. I think they're on the field the next day. That has not been officially announced yet. But there will be a lot of battles in training camp. Let's start with one of the biggest this year at left tackle. Kelvin Beachum brought in from the Pittsburgh Steelers, coming off the knee injury, has not worked out with the team in the offseason program, but he plans on being ready for training camp. Luke Jokel, the incumbent at left tackle, this is probably the premier battle for this team, I think, in the preseason. What do you think?
Well, there's no question, and I don't think there's any question that if there's an odds-on favorite, it's Kelvin Beachum. At the same time, when you take the injury into consideration, you don't know exactly when he's going to be back to full strength. You don't know if that's – they're hoping, and they think it's going to be the beginning of training camp, but with that knee, you just never know. And not that knee, but with a knee like that, you never know. And we also haven't seen Kelvin Beachum in this scheme to compare him how Luke Jokel is into this scheme. So I would guess Beachum starts the season at left tackle. But there's just something inside of me that's saying, don't count Jokel out of this. I don't know why. I know he hasn't performed at the level number two pick. I know he had a horrible season finale last year. There's just something said it's not going to be as cut and dry as people think. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, you say there's no question, and you're right. However, the question is the biggest question mark in camp. And that, you know, you talk about holes in the roster, and you've got a guy that hasn't performed to number two, and
right.
You've got a guy with a knee who played very well before he injured himself in Pittsburgh last October. So it really is the big focus, because if people are talking about the hole at left tackle right now, people are talking about the Jaguars' offense and going, watch out,
right.
Instead of, hey, the quarterback got hit too much.
Right.
He had to throw the ball too quickly. So it's the biggest one. I like Kelvin a lot. I keep hearing from people inside the building, this is a really good football player.
Yeah.
Although all I've seen is him on tape. I never watched him live. And when I saw the Steelers, I paid no attention to their left tackle because I didn't know the name. It wasn't like I was watching one of the premier left tackles in the game, or at least in my mind. He could turn out to be that way. Here's the thing about Jokel, and I've spent some time with him in a couple of charity events. Boy, I tell you what, I have always – my knock on him is does he have it here?
Mm-hmm.
Is he that intense about it? Does he love it? And I never really thought he did. You know, I thought he liked it, and I thought he enjoyed it.
Yeah, sometimes his demeanor makes you think that. I don't know that's true.
No, and I don't know that's true either. But his demeanor has been markedly different. Just when it's him and I talking about his focus, his offseason, and then at the very end of the OTAs, when Doug Marrone spoke and talked about he's done everything that we've asked him to do, I think we've seen a different, and the Jaguars certainly believe they've seen a different Luke Jokel. I can't wait to watch this one. And the thing that's really intriguing me is just how much Kelvin is talking, right? He's rehabbing a knee. You or I, or, well, not JP, he's very bold and brash. We might shut up and wait and get out there and play.
You wouldn't shut up, right?
Yeah, probably not.
You haven't yet.
That's true. Kelvin, though, is, hey, I'm here to play left tackle. Right. I'm excited to watch that battle. And most people won't. They'll watch the receivers catch the ball, and they'll watch the guys rushing the passer and in pace party and those different things. I want to watch Beecham and Jokel.
And I continue to believe, Ryan, that whoever loses that kicks inside and plays left guard, and they're better there. I know it's something people are talking about, a position battle over left guard. I think the loser of left tackle plays left guard. I don't think it's a big question.
I don't think it's a question either. I think it's a done deal.
Let's get over to that.
Because you want your best
now.
Five on the field. Right. And whichever guy loses is absolutely, at no worst, your fifth.
Correct.
And you've got a guy named Mackenzie Bernardo who came in to compete at that spot as well, work on the interior. So could he compete for that? He's been around the league for a long time with a lot of starts in the league.
He wouldn't be one of your best five.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think – I mean – and it's not a knock on him. I just don't think he's one of the best five. So I think the first move is to play the guy at left tackle who loses left tackle in there. And then if that doesn't work, which they don't think that's going to be the case, then you look for that next option. But I think that's why they're not overly worried about this timing in training camp, because I think they know who the five are going to be.
You know, most left tackles are big guys. And they struggle to play low, right?
Right.
So they're better pass protectors than they are run blockers. Historically, that's been the case. I'm not to say that they're lousy run blockers, but they're not the best run blockers because it's not what they are supposed to do.
It's not a powerful position.
Jokel's a really good run blocker, right? Really good. Last year, where he struggled in pass protection, he more than made up for it when he was pushing a guy down the field, getting to the second level, and even doubling up some blocks. Mm-hmm. If he has to slide in and play guard, you're really good there, I think.
This is going to be fascinating to watch because we agree that I think Luke can do it. I think he may even be better at left guard. But there is a vocal, you know, it's probably half and half over people who aren't sure because they haven't seen it. We haven't seen it either. So I think that's the secondary story of this that's just as fascinating. Who wins left tackle? And then if it is Jokel moving inside, it's a legitimate question. Can he do it? I think he can.
Unlike the 50% who haven't seen it and wonder, I say, hey, let's go see what he can do rather than worry about what we don't know.
Let's move to defense. Strong safety, a little bit of a question mark. It's a big year for Jonathan Cyprian. Last year, his rookie deal. And then James Sample, a guy who broke a hand or wrist early last year trying to swat at a ball in camp and was out a lot of the season. So a lot of folks feel that Sample has a good chance to play this position this year.
If looks are worth anything, boy, does he look
monster.
Like a yeah. – oh, my – gosh, is he big. Almost 6'3", broad shoulders, long arms, meat cleavers for hands. I mean, this is a really big guy who's got the tools to play strong safety, but also to be a guy who can knock passes away.
Right.
I don't want to say the name because everyone's going to go, oh, you can't compare him to that. But physically, he looks like Cam Chancellor.
And I think there's a very good chance that James Sample is the strong safety of the future on this team. I wonder if he's the strong safety of the first 6 to 8 games of this season because he played, I think it was 4 games last year. And Jonathan Cyprian has a much better handle experience-wise, and there is a belief that Sip is much better when he's around the line of scrimmage, when he's not trying to go sideline to sideline. So that combination may make him the best alternative to start early in the season, but all you heard last year around this time, early in training camp, they love James Sample's potential. Now, can he get enough up to speed to be a better option than Cyprian right now? I don't know. But in the long run, I think he can be.
Here's the thing. Jonathan Cyprian, at the line of scrimmage, better make tackles, right? Because last year, he would have games where he would tackle everything and games where he would miss a lot.
And they thought a lot of that was because
he was having
of
be
bad
coverage.
Angles from being out of position. Yeah. And that's a lot of tackling. Just because you have your hands on a guy doesn't mean you're in position to make the tackle.
Right.
So they think that will improve with the presence of Gibson. That's the hope anyway, that they can get something out of Cyprian this year.
If it does, John Cyprian can be a really good tackler and a very productive box safety.
Yeah.
But he's got to become more consistent tackling to take advantage of all the talent that he brings to the table.
Well, that's coming up late July. Some of the battles coming up at training camp this year, and I bet a lot of those guys could run a 5K, too. And you can as well at Everbank Field. Today, the Jags will announce the second annual Jaguars 5K Stadium Challenge. Registration at firstplacesports.com. That's 1stplacesports.com. It's August 13th at Everbank Field, and you can get an early bird discount through June 29th. Use the code JAGS5K, and the proceeds benefit the Jaguars Foundation. That should be another fun event. I know, John, you're going to run it, right?
Probably not, but, yeah.
Brian, no?
Well, he can walk it faster than most people can run it.
That's
so
true, yeah. I thought you run all the time,
John. I am a speedy walker, Ryan.
That's one of the things people
don't know about me.
You're stealthy.
Yeah, I am.
You are. That'll do it for our show today. Our thanks to the folks here at Bono's in Neptune Beach. We're about to hammer some lunch. Thank you for watching. For John Osier, Brian Sexton, and everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. We'll see you next week. Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.